Awesome. Well, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And thanks so much for joining us today. If you're new, welcome. I'm Pastor Bert. And whether you're watching online or you're here in person, I give thanks for you. This weekend, as we all know, we're celebrating a national holiday called Thanksgiving. The irony of it, over the years, I've realized that there's not a whole lot of Thanksgiving that goes on a lot of times that takes place on Thanksgiving. We're usually so busy with everything else, right? Trying to get it all ready and working well, and together we're preparing food, we're cooking, we're eating, we're entertaining, we're visiting, we're watching football, all kinds of things, right? And it seems like sometimes the only thanks that happens is a quick prayer before the meal. Oh, sometimes we may go around the table, right, and say, tell me one thing you're thankful for, but hurry up, the potatoes are getting cold, right? But that's about it. So how can we make Thanksgiving different, special even? How can we make it more meaningful than maybe ever before? Well, the Bible says that there are actually four ways, well, there's a lot more than four. I'm only going to give you four, but four ways that I want to talk about today that we ought to give thanks. And give thanks to God especially, right? And these are four things, actually, that you don't have to wait until Thanksgiving. It doesn't have to just be one day a year. It should be part of our daily expression of thanksgiving unto God. And we're going to get right into it today because I know you're all drooling over your turkeys. So the first way we can give thanks is by singing joyfully. And thank you so much for joining us and doing that this morning, because nothing that makes you aware and grateful for God's presence faster than singing praise to Him. When you sing praise to God, you sense His presence like in no other way. And that's why it's so important, I feel, to give thanks to God through singing. You know, the famous shepherd King David wrote many songs that were sung in the tabernacle in Jerusalem. And they're recorded in the book of Psalms in the Bible. And many of them emphasize the importance of giving thanks. Let me give you a couple examples. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with a song of thanksgiving. That's what we did here today. Come into his courtyards with a song of praise. Give thanks to him. Praise his name. And then in Psalm 147, sing out your thanks to the Lord. Sing praises to our God. Now, some of you may be thinking, what if you can't sing? I can't sing very good, right? Well, the good news is you do not have to be a contestant on The Voice. Okay? I'll just get that out there. I want you to listen what else was written in the Psalms. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Now, it may not sound like music, but it's a joyous song of praise unto our God, right? Make a joyful noise. And the thing is, any of us can do that, right? Any of us can make a joyful noise. And I know some of you may be what I'd consider prison singers. And that just means you're behind a few bars. And you don't have the right key. But that's okay. Because the Bible says make a joyful noise, right? Why? Because God created us to express our deepest feelings through song. Did you know that there have been more songs written about Jesus than any other topic in this world? It's true. I looked it up. Why? Because Jesus Church is the largest belief system in the world. And I can't help but think that we, of all people, have the most to sing about. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me? How can you not sing about God's goodness towards us? We can't help but sing of both his greatness, but as that last song, about his goodness towards us, right? He's great. Yes, he does amazing, great, powerful things. But he's good, so he does them for us. So many of the songs we sing are about giving praise, giving thanks to God for who he is and what he's done, right? And there have been some people, though, in churches that I've served at, for some reason, all they would do is come to the message. They would purposely come late to the service, intentionally, because I think it was probably because they didn't like the kind of music that maybe we played. But to me, that's a mistake. It's a mistake because really, you're just cheating yourself. I mean, when we sing together, doesn't it do something to you? It's like God is moving in this place and he's touching people. So you're only cheating yourself and you're cheating God. You're not giving him the praise he's due. He deserves your praise. And he blesses those who praise him. You know, I've discovered that in the times when I feel maybe the least like singing, those times when things aren't going so good, that's the time when I find I need to sing the most. When I don't feel like praising God, when I don't feel like singing my thanks to him, when my heart is feeling kind of hard, kind of cold maybe, when I'm under stress, when I'm under duress, when I'm tired, or whatever it is, that is when I stop and just take a moment, sing unto him. I feel renewed, I feel restored, I feel recharged. And it only seems to happen when I sing my thanks to him. Sometimes as a pastor, I can find myself going from one emotionally draining experience to another. That's when I often feel the need to just stop and sing unto my God. The ancient preacher Isaiah expressed this in the Bible. He said, "They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength." Now, the Hebrew word translated here as wait is actually an active word. We often think of waiting of just, right? The most we do is tap our toe or twiddle our thumbs. But it's not about just sitting around. Waiting in the Hebrew language, this word is not about just sitting around doing nothing, but actively expressing our hope that God's going to do something. And singing is by far, I think, the best way to do this. I've discovered that when I stop and sing to the Lord, he calms my mind from whatever was stressing me out. He restores my soul, but he also refreshes my body. I find a strength I never had, right? That ability to keep on keeping on. But that's just one of the four ways that we can give thanks to God. And it's a great thing for us as well, right? The second is by praying thankfully. So singing joyfully, praying thankfully. You know, one of the most difficult commands, I think, in the Bible is found in the letter written to the church in Philippi, Greece, by Paul, who had actually founded that church. And he tells them this. He says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done." You see what I mean? Not worrying about stuff, afraid of, don't worry about anything. That's got to be the hardest command in the world, right? But the second part of that verse may be the second hardest thing to pray about everything. However, I have to say that I have found that if I start with the second part of that and I start praying about everything, first part actually comes pretty easy. you prayed as much as you worried, you'd have a whole lot less to worry about. God says, don't worry about it. So if you find yourself starting to worry, start praying. Praying your thanksgiving unto him. Paul goes on to say this, tell God what you need. That's how you pray. Thank him for all that he's done. That's how you pray. Then you will experience, he says, God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand because it doesn't make sense. I'm still in this stressful situation, but I feel peace. I feel okay. I know God's got this, right? His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So when we pray, Paul says, pray with gratitude. Give thanks to God for what he's done in your life. You know, those of you who are parents, I think you probably wouldn't like it so much if your kids, you know, they were always begging for stuff, but never, ever showed appreciation for what they got, right? We wouldn't be too happy with them, right? If your kids only said, give me this, give me that, it's about time, right? No thank yous. Well, you know, I think the reason we're like that, because God made us that way. Because God's like that. We're made in his image, in his likeness. He's our heavenly Father who wants us to request things from him, to ask him for his help in things, but he wants us to be grateful for what he does and who he is. But also, I think as people of faith, we should also thank him for what he's going to do. Right? What he's going to do. Faith is thanking God in advance. For before you even receive an answer for your prayers. When you have that kind of faith, folks, that's when miracles can happen. I believe that the more grateful we are, the more God actually works in our lives and through them. Now, while we're focusing on being thankful for all the good God's done in our lives, I'm also aware that life runs on two tracks, right? It runs on two tracks. There are usually both good and bad things happening often at the same time in our lives, right? Life is never seems to be all good or all bad. There's some good and some bad, right? One thing I've discovered is that when I thank God for the good things, the bad things don't seem quite as hard to handle. Again, I believe it's because when you wait on the Lord, he renews your strength and he helps you through whatever it is you're going through, whatever you're dealing with. And the other thing is that, really, whatever you're going through, no matter how bad it may seem, there is always something to thank God for. There's always something. You can thank him that he saved you, that he knows and cares about you personally. You can thank him that you know he's already working on your situation. You can thank him that he has a purpose for everything in your life and can make something good out of even the worst things that you're going through. Because thanking God in prayer can bring miracle-working power. So we see, we can give thanks by singing joyfully, by praying thankfully, thirdly, by giving generously. Now, one of the Psalms says to give an offering to show thanks to God. And Paul, in his letter to the church in Corinth, Greece, told them that your generosity will produce thanksgiving to God. Right? So the Bible says that thanks and giving actually go together. God wants us to be generous in our giving because he is a generous God who gave us far more than we could ever deserve. The most famous line in the Bible is, God loved the people of this world so much that he gave his only son, so that everyone who has faith in him, whosoever would believe, will have eternal life, living with him forever. God, in his infinite generosity, came into this world, laid down his life, rose again to defeat sin and death. For who? For us. Through the person of Jesus Christ. He did it for us. Paul explains it like this to the church that was in Colossae, which is in modern-day Turkey, and if you're looking at your map. That was a joke. Okay. He said, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. That means he did it. He made it all. God generously gave us his life, and he calls us to be like him and to do what he's done. The same things. Jesus said, those who believe in me will do what I do. Yes, they will do even greater things because I'm going to the Father. Recorded by John. You know, I think this verse shows us that Jesus is telling us that generosity isn't just about finances, right? It's about being generous with our lives. Generously sharing our time, our abilities, and our faith with those around us. Paul told the Ephesian church that they should do something good with their hands so that they'll have something to share with those in need. When we generously give of our time, our talents, our toonies, we're showing our thanks to God for what he's given us, because all those things came from him. But it's also showing his loving generosity to others. And when we live generously and thankfully, it'll soften people's hearts, folks. Which can lead to our final way to express thanks to God. And that is by sharing testimony. Our fourth point. You know what a testimony is? Now, you've probably seen trials maybe on TV or on YouTube, shows like Judge Judy or whatever, some other one. Now, a testimony is not what lawyers do, okay? They don't do that. A testimony is what the witness does, right? They're not trying. A witness isn't trying to convince anybody of anything. They're just saying, this is what I saw. This is what happened. This is what I know, right? Nobody, folks, nobody can give your testimony but you. You alone are the authority on your life. Nobody can argue with the experiences from your life. They are yours. And I heard of a great example of this today. And so I want rather than me share it, I want her to share it. And Doreen, if you'd come and just share how God has been good to you.
I actually want to, is it this good?
Yep.
I want to start off actually by, saying Psalm 91 because it's part of it. So I'll do my best. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save me from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. Mm-hmm. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings I will find refuge. His faithfulness is my shield and mm-hmm. rampart. If I call on the Lord as my God, who is my refuge. No, I'm messing it up. Anyways, I do not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. I will only observe with my eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. He will command his angels concerning me to guard me in all my ways. They will lift me up in their hands so I do not strike my feet against a stone. I will tread upon the lion and the cobra. I will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because she loves me, declares the Lord, I will protect her. She will call upon my name and I will answer her. I will be with her in trouble. I will deliver her and honor her. With long life will I satisfy her and show her my salvation. And so,
thank you, Lord.
The best way for me to do the testimony, because this always, you can tell I'm not a public speaker. I'm just going to read you.
Right.
I'm going to read you the text that I've been sending to family and friends. Thursday afternoon, I visited my aunt and cousin in Edmonton. Had quite the adventure coming home. Driving home, just coming up to Devon Bridge, heading south on Highway 60, about 7:25 p.m., a semi-driver, super nice guy, shout out to those nice semi-drivers, said it was the biggest moose he's seen in quite a while. It did have a nice rack. He kept saying, that was effing wild. Do you realize how lucky you are? Last time I saw this, the driver was dead. Do you know how lucky you are? Holy, you are so fortunate. Do you know how lucky you are? Glass and moose hair even everywhere. Glass in my shirt and even down my pants. And I walked away literally without a scratch. Airbags didn't even go off, so not hurt that way either. Can't say the same for my beloved Camry. And there's a whole bunch of pictures that I'd sent out of moose hair on my driver's window even, rear cup holders and cubbies, and this was from my purse, so more glass. Moonroof and back window smashed out, well, in. Pretty much totaled the car, and then a couple pictures of structural damage. Thankfully, I have rental coverage. The big moose ran out from the ditch to my right, about 18 feet in front of me. I was in the right lane just before going down the hill of the bridge to Devon. I didn't even leave a skid mark on the road because by the time I saw it and went to brake, I hit it. I was on cruise control at 100 kilometers an hour. Didn't even have time to yell out that, Jesus! After impact, I was braking, but knew the semi was behind me and immediately thought, I can't slam on my brakes in front of a semi because if he can't slow down, I'll get rear-ended. So I hit the gas again and pulled over to the shoulder, and he passed by and stopped in front of me. Said he saw the whole thing, which is why he said that was wild. I hit the moose broadside, and it went up over the top of the car and mostly down the driver's side, landing behind the car facing the ditch it just came out of, jumped up and booked it, or the semi would have run over it if it hadn't. It's like it was splayed across the car, legs on both sides maybe. There was a car in the left lane beside the semi who also stopped, but when he saw everything was okay, he kept going. I keep reliving it all, and I definitely re-see that moose. I'm so thankful to God everything turned out the way it did. If I had tried to swerve to miss it, I would have either been in the ditch to my right, exactly where the pole and the big culvert is, quite possibly rolling, or had I swerved to the left, I would have been in a collision with the car that was in that lane beside the semi. Had I slammed my brakes to a skid stop, the semi may have rear-ended me because the car was to his left lane. Had the moose been smaller, the front of my car might not have gone under its belly, So front-end impact would have been goodness. The driver said he thinks it might have jumped even, and it was the rack that smacked the windshield, throwing the moose mostly around the driver's side and over the roof and off the back. Had the rack gone all the way through the windshield, or even the airbag gone off, had I not hit a broadside scoop, would likely have lost control, very possibly involving the other car and or semi. I was basically 100% protected from impact. Now I'll preach, and this is still in here. God hears our prayer. When I woke up Thursday morning, I felt tired. I knew I had to be up and I had things to do, but I laid in bed and prayed verse by verse, Psalm 91, for about 15 minutes. Not one I pray every day, but a very timely psalm indeed. Then as I was driving into Edmonton, I just sang and prayed in the spirit, basically the entire drive to the north end, to the northeast end. On the drive home, I was listening to Bible on CD, 2nd and 3rd John, Jude, and was on Revelations when suddenly, smack dab in front of me was Bullwinkle. But somewhere else in front of me, around me, was whoever God sent to buffer and protect, not just me, but the semi-driver and the car. Not sure about Bullwinkle, though. Might be coyote snacks. Bizarre how calm I was while it was all going down. I didn't even feel fear or anxiety. Then shock was setting in once out of the car. Did have a wee cry once home, and Glenn ran out and held me. Now that I think of it, I bet it would have been worse if the moose had been laying there still, especially if it was in distress, so I'm happy it bolted. Although Glenn was disappointed he couldn't find it after because he was hoping for a couple of tasty backstraps. They're in rut right now, pumped up testosterone, moving at dusk and ready to fight for the prize, which I knew and had even been thinking of as I was driving. So who knows? Maybe he also lived to see another day. Because the front of the car wasn't damaged, it was actually still drivable. So semi-guy had me go in front of him. He followed behind with our flashers on for the 3 kilometers across the bridge into Devon. Oh my, had to open my door and hang out a bit to shoulder check when pulling back onto the highway because I had no mirrors. Then it was only a few blocks to the house. He was a super nice guy and kept repeating, "This isn't safe. We have to get off the highway." I'm so thankful for him. His name is Dustin. He called me the next morning to see how I was doing. And I was able to truthfully say, I am doing great. I have much to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. I've been sharing God's grace in this to numerous family and neighbors. Many share sad or traumatic stories of moose collisions they've known or heard of. Many comment how stiff and sore I must at least be, because after all, it was a moose. Have to admit, that had me checking a few times to see if I was, thinking to myself, insurance would cover physio or massage. Wouldn't massage feel nice? Then I gave my head a shake. If I have to look to see if I'm sore, I don't. Hallelujah. Amazing how logic thinking can get in there and grab a hold if we're not guarded. Yes, indeed. It's a very happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Amen. Wow. You know, the Bible tells us, folks, that we can show gratitude by testifying about what God has done for us. What a great thing that our God does do for us over and over again. And I don't know how many times I've traveled that road over the years. And God's providence has just been there, right? I haven't met a moose. Sometimes going way faster than I probably should be. And I think the worst thing we ever encountered was a mallard duck hit our door one time. That was it. The psalmist says, thank God. Tell everyone you meet what he has done. Isaiah also says, Thank the Lord, praise his name, tell the nations what he has done. Let them know how mighty he is. You know, the thing is, if you don't give testimony about how God has worked in your life, it's never going to be told. No one else, as I said before, can tell your story. Who God is to you and what he's done for you. I have to laugh. I was thinking, please don't not read Psalm 91 now. Just in case you're thinking, oh, I don't want that to happen to me. Right? Sometimes people can think that. It's not what's happened, okay? It's just something God preparing and showing Doreen what was going to happen so she knew. And when it happened, she's like, thanks, God. You know, it's so cool. One of the ways that we tell, and probably such an important way that we give thanks to God is by telling our stories. Telling our story about who he is in our lives, what he's done for us. One of the oldest books in the Bible says this, be very careful to never forget what you've seen God doing for you. May his miracles have a deep and permanent effect upon your lives. Tell your children, tell your grandchildren about the glorious miracles he did. You know, just I want you to notice this. Not sure if you caught it. But it says God wants you to remember how he's worked in your life. Remember. The problem is we don't, do we? After some time, it's like life goes on and we forget how he's worked in our lives. And that's why when something else comes up, we start worrying about it, right? Worrying about stuff. This says that the best ways to remember how God worked in your life is to pass it on by sharing it with others. Now, Paul told the church in Colossae that whatever they do, whether it's singing, whether it's praying, whether it's giving, or whether it's sharing, they should do everything with a grateful heart. It says this, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This means that everything you say, everything you do, is to be done with an attitude of gratitude, right? God says, I don't want Thanksgiving to be an event in your life. I don't want it to just be one day on your annual calendar. I want it to be your lifestyle. What you share with others every day. As we've already seen, no matter what we have to go through, there's always something to give thanks to God for in our lives. Paul told the church in Thessalonica, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, somebody might say, wonder, what does that, that's kind of crazy. What is that supposed to mean? Does it mean I thank God for my cancer? No, that would be ridiculous. It doesn't say give thanks to God for your circumstances, right? But give thanks to him in your circumstances. God does not expect you to be thankful for the evil and the bad things that happen to you. That'd be crazy. He says that in the midst of every circumstance, we can still give thanks. How can we do that? Well, when there are bad things happening in my life, when evil things are happening around me, how do I give thanks to those for to him in the midst of those things? Well, for me, it's because of what I already know about him. It's what I already know. The Bible says God sees it all, And I know that. I know he sees what I'm going through. It says he cares about me. So I know he cares that I'm experiencing this hard thing right now. He cares about it. I know he's both willing and able to help me through whatever happens. He has the power to change a situation. I know he has a purpose behind every problem I go through. He can turn it around. I know that I will be rewarded in heaven if I respond correctly. I know these things. So even in the darkest days, I can give thanks in every circumstance. And when I do that, and I share it with others, it says God's glorified and lives are transformed. Dr. Francis Collins, I want to give you a little example. He's one of the greatest minds of our time. He was the director for the Human Genome Project, which mapped the 3 million letters of the human DNA. It's considered by many to be the most significant scientific undertaking of our time. While he was finishing his first of two doctorates in the medical field, he found himself one day sitting at the bedside of a lovely elderly woman who had a terrible heart disease. As Dr. Collins was sitting by her bed, she experienced what he says was a very bad bout of chest pain. And at the end of it, as she gathered her breath and her strength, she shared with him how her faith in Jesus is what helped her through her illness. He said that she then shared her own very personal story of the different things that Jesus had done for her through her life. And at the end of it, she asked him point blank, "What do you believe, doctor?" And that conversation started him on a journey of discovering the evidence for God, and ultimately led him to believe and become a follower of Jesus Christ. This is the power of thanksgiving, the power of sharing the good things that God has done for you, especially when life throws you a curveball or a moose. You just find yourself in a difficult situation, right? Your trust in God, your gratitude for what he's done in your life has the power to transform another life as you share about it with others. But maybe you're here today and have never really thought or cared really maybe too much whether God is real or not. But maybe like Dr. Collins, something that you've heard today has started to prompt you to look a little deeper into who God is. And if that's you, then I encourage you to come back next week and discover more of what the Bible says about him. And Or maybe you've been on that journey of discovery. You've been looking and trying to figure this out and following along and finding stuff, and you've come to the point where you decided, I can't deny it. I believe it. I do believe in God, and are ready to ask Jesus to start to lead your life from now on. If that's you, I'm going to help you take that step in just a moment by leading you in short prayer to God. But right now, I'd like to ask everyone, if you just bow your heads, close your eyes, and if you do want to pray along with me today, that prayer, could you just do me a quick favor, raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for, and then we'll just pray quickly. Thank you. Just pray along silently with me now. Dear God, I've been so wrapped up in my own life that I haven't really taken the time to be thankful for for the good things. But now I know that those things have come from you. And I want to give you thanks today. Jesus, I especially want to thank you for giving your life away for me. I'm sorry for doing my own thing and ignoring you and all that you have for me. You're best for me. So I ask for your forgiveness today. And I ask for help to start living generously like you and for you. Jesus, would you please lead my life from now on? I give it to you so I can start to care for people like you did and like you still do. And I can share about my love and gratitude for all that you've done for me. Thanks, God. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As the band comes back and join me back up here, if you did pray that prayer for the first time, would you please fill in one of those connect cards for me? That's right in the seat in front of you or online. It'll be linked to the video stream. And I do have some resources I'd love to share with you, but I'd just like to connect with you if there's any way that we can help you out as you start this journey with God.